Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Laurent, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Dr. William Winkenwerter, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs in the U.S. Department of Defense. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us, Bill. And also joining us in our conversation is Mike Perry. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Well, Bill, let's start out by finding out more about military medicine. Would you give us a sense of the mission of the Department of Health Affairs?
Paul, our mission is to provide for our military, all of our military commands, and for all of the missions of the Department of Defense, the health support, the medical support, to ensure that our troops are medically ready, and that when we have operations, we have the ability, the capability worldwide to care for them. That's our what we call our readiness mission. We have another mission, and that is to take care of the everyday health care needs of those same service members, as well as their families and dependents, and also military retirees who have at least 20 years of experience and then have a lifetime benefit. So we have a dual mission, an unusual type of arrangement for any organization.
Now, I'm told you're the top doc, as I understand it. Could you describe your roles and responsibilities related to this mission?
My role is to serve as the Chief Health and Medical Advisor to the Secretary of Defense. It is also to have the responsibility for all policy with respect to health issues and medical issues within the Department of Defense, and all the program oversight, budgets, and resources for all of our various components of the military health system. And that includes Army, Navy, and Air Force, and Marines, and the medical organizations within all of those. It also includes our what we call TRICARE management program, or TRICARE management activity. It's our health insurance coverage plan that covers everybody. And also within the military health system, we have a medical school that trains medical students and nurses. And we do lots of healthcare research and medical research. So my responsibilities are to have oversight for all of that.
How would you describe the size of what you just described? Staffing, budget?
It's a very large organization, and large by government standards even, certainly large by private sector standards. Our annual budget this year is about $28 billion. And we have working within the military health system about 130,000 individuals. A little bit over 90,000 of those are military uniformed members, and almost 40,000 are civilians. And that does not include, I might add, the reservists and guardsmen. And so we actually probably are operating with a bit more than that right now because of reservists and guardsmen who've been called up for duty.
I'm proud to say that I'm a retired military member, and as such, I am a beneficiary of their services. I'd like to know a bit more about other beneficiaries, how many there are, and so forth.
Within the military health system?
Yes.
Yes. Well, certainly the family members are very, very important. One of the messages we hear time and again, I'm sure it's a message that that you provided when you were serving, and that is one of the greatest concerns for service members when they go off in operations is their families. Will their families be taken care of? And so we can say emphatically, yes. And that's a top priority for us. So we care for those family members and dependents, and also retirees. Those retirees of any branch of the military who have 20 years of experience, and by that 20-year experience gain a lifetime benefit. And so that benefit goes until they reach the age of 65. And then just recently, because of law that the Congress passed, those who are over 65 are covered by Medicare, of course, but in the past, people had to pay for their pharmaceuticals and other cost shares with either through their employer or through out of their pocket. We created an additional benefit called TRICARE for Life, which takes care of all those other expenses, which in some cases can be substantial. So actually, we have had a population of people in the United States for a couple of years now, over 65 Medicare eligibles who do have a drug benefit, and that's the military. As we today talk about the whole issue of Medicare and changing that benefit to create a new drug benefit.
Can you give us order of magnitude, sorry to put you on the spot here, in terms of the percentage of active duty service members, family members, and then retirees?
Our entire covered population is just under 9 million right now. And so that's a large group of people. 1.4 million of those are active duty. We have about 160,000 on top of that now who are reservists or guardsmen who've activated. So they're eligible and they have these benefits when they come onto active duty. The family members and dependents, I think, bring the number to somewhere between 3 and 4 million. And then the remainder are retirees. So we actually have quite a large number of retirees in our program.
Could you tell me a bit about your personal experience?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I'm a physician by background and training. I'm an internal medicine primary care doctor and sought to practice medicine initially. That was my plan, to return to my hometown. Those plans changed as I learned more about healthcare and the healthcare system, and I got interested in how hospitals and healthcare systems worked, and sought some additional training for that, and went to business school after I finished all my medical training. Practiced medicine for several years in a primary care practice, and then with that interest in management and economics and policy, sought opportunities as an administrator, and served with two or three different organizations. Most recently, before I came here to Washington, with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, there in Boston. And prior to that, I was in Atlanta for several years and was with Emory University.
How do you think your medical background has helped you run your agency?
Well, hopefully it's provided assistance to my role in many ways. As a physician, I think it's always important to be sensitive to the patient and his or her needs, and to always put that really at the top of the priority list. But as somebody who's spent time studying and participating as an administrator and manager, I think one has to appreciate the challenges with organizing a system of care and coverage for a group of people, and how to do that, and how to manage so that the outcomes are good, the outcomes that relate to high service, customer satisfaction, quality. And then how do we do all that cost effectively? And so I use every day both sets of experiences in the past, and that's been helpful.
You've had a long career of working in the private sector dealing with healthcare issues, and now you're in the public sector. What are the similarities or the differences between the two sectors as you deal with healthcare issues?
There are many similarities, and there are some differences. The similarities are that it's healthcare. And it's about people. It's about doing the right thing. It's about quality medicine, good outcomes, and satisfying patients and beneficiaries. And so in all those counts, it's very similar. The things that are different would relate, I think, primarily to the way that in government, everything you do is so visible. And everything is open for second opinion, so to speak, at the policy level and at the administrator level. And we have an interested Congress, obviously. We have constituent and interest groups. And so there's a need to attend to, and actually do more than attend to actually relate with, inform continually, and bring into the process of decision making all those constituent groups. So I think in many ways this type of responsibility is more challenging than anyone than many, I'll say, if not most, in the private sector, because you have all these other concerns that go along with a visible responsibility in government.
It's an interesting point, especially about the constituents. How has the delivery of care changed now that we have service members actively engaged in armed conflict? We'll ask Dr. William Winkenwerter of the Department of Defense to describe these changes and challenges when the Business of Government Hour returns.